was just released, I believe, this month. She hasn't released an album in 9 years, I believe. And so this is her second of all time. But yeah, the reason for not releasing anything for 9 years, because she had a lot of things going on. I think she had a child. She had postpartum depression after the child. She had a stroke that that made her lose movement in her left arm for a while. So
wow.
Yeah, she couldn't make music. And she also had a lingering PTSD from a near-death experience before. So that's Alanna York.
This album's going to be a little emotional.
But anyway, this one, it's a little more on the slower side, but still pretty awesome. So I think it reflects really her journey that she's had since the beginning of the 9 years.
Okay, so, yeah, I'm interested to see.
Yeah, but yeah, we hope you enjoy.
Please enjoy.
Little baby, your eyes, your eyes.
Welcome back. This is CJSF 90.1 FM. I am DJ Star.
And I am DJ Coco. We already introduced the last song, but that, once again, was Marion by Elena York. And we just wanted to do a little talking.
Maybe a little debate.
Just
today.
A little debate.
We'll see how it goes.
But I don't think it's super recent, but lately, the past couple months, I believe there's this drug called Ozempic. You might have heard of it. And we just wanted to start off by giving a little history about Ozempic before we go into our main topic. Mm-hmm. But so Ozempic is basically this kind of revolutionary drug, I'd say. You might have seen it popularized by a lot of Hollywood. So basically, a drug that can replicate the effects of a GLP-1 receptor in our gut. So this is a hormone that's responsible for our feelings of satiety. So basically, you take these drugs and you don't feel hungry. So is the brief summary of them. So, and I've been learning a bit more about it because my grandma is a type 2 diabetic, and so Ozempic was actually originally created for type 2 diabetics. But a lot of people have noticed the effects of, oh, like, I don't feel hungry. So then they started marketing it towards weight loss. But anyway, it's a pretty strong drug. I know that my grandma had to go off of it because she never felt hungry at all during the entire day. So
that seems extremely unnatural to me. I don't know how that could be healthy.
It's a little scary. I think she took a too high dosage for what she did. But I think she just took a little bit less and now she's on it. But yeah, and
you can't like get off the drug, or like
no.
How did she do that?
So I think she's still on the drug. She's just taking a much, much lower dosage. I think it just depends on the person since everyone's different. But yeah, you have to stay on this drug for your whole life to maintain this weight loss because the second that you go off this drug, people report gaining their weight back. So
it's just like it makes you not want to eat anything.
Yeah, that's pretty much.
Okay.
So they usually combine Ozempic. Doctors usually recommend it with exercise and diet. So, yeah. But anyway, it's kind of recently in the news again because there's more potential harms of taking the drug that weren't studied fully. So we know that before there was mild symptoms. So there was nausea, stomach pains, and there's very, very rare risk of kidney cancer. It's like 0.0001% or something like that. But honestly, the drug is very new in terms of how much we know about it. So the science community hasn't really looked into it too much, unlike other drugs like insulin for diabetes, which has been studied since, I don't know, pretty much the 70s, 80s, around there. But anyway, I think this is the major question that I kind of wanted to also ask DJ Star on air. But do you think Ozempic would help obese people? Like, should obese people be taking Ozempic? And should we be intervening with this drug?
Okay. I feel like that's a very complex question. And first of all, I'd like to clarify to everyone out there, I'm not a doctor. So
no, neither of us.
I'm not gonna, like, you know, recommend for you to take it or not. But if we look at just obesity in general before we start talking about, like, reactionary measures against it or, like, prescriptions, I was doing a bit of research, and it appeared in the U.S., like, this whole idea of, like, an epidemic of obesity started in the U.S. around the 80s, and then it just started, like, spreading like crazy. So, due to globalization and all these, like, Western companies getting all their products out there, that's a major contributor to obesity. Like, you see them in basically every country, and super...
Yeah.
Processed foods,
capitalizing
like sugars,
on obesity, basically.
Exactly. So that is kind of like the source of obesity, I guess. Like, just ultra processed foods, a lot of papers have found.
Yeah.
Which means foods with a high content of calories, salt, sugar, fat, but like not very many whole foods. So I feel like we need to look at, you know, obesity from a more holistic perspective than just like, oh, people, there's a problem with weight gain, and then
fix it with this drug
that I have a question for you, actually, DJ Coco. Like,
I'll try my best. I don't know too much either, but
or just to, you know, to the void, but like, how do people get the nutrients they need on Ozempic? Like,
I don't
how
think
does their body function?
It doesn't fully suppress. It's because GLP-1, those are natural hormones that are produced mm-hmm. in our gut, so it just okay. slightly increases the amount of them. So it's not like you're not hungry all the time. I think my grandma was just an extreme case just because she took too much, but people usually take a dosage that's right for them. So I guess they'll feel hungry, less hungry. Not like completely, mm-hmm. I never want to eat, but just less hungry, so they'll eat less and thus get like lose more weight.
Okay.
Is what's
okay,
happening.
Okay, okay. I
but
see.
It, yeah, it's, I know it's pretty revolutionary because this hasn't, I think the amount percentage of body weight that's lost is much, much more than any other drug that's came out.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the fact that it's from a natural hormone makes everyone really latch onto it because it's like, oh, natural.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. It, like, for me, it just bothers me a bit, like this, the Western medical system, and obviously, you know, but just always doing, like, there's no preventative things. Like, there's a bunch of different causes for obesity or things that contribute
mm-hmm.
to obesity. Like, even the development of technology I was reading has, like, contributed to obesity rates and, like, how people are spending their leisure time differently by, like, watching TV. And then also in the US, like, cities aren't even built for, like, walkability. Like, people are just driving. Like, people aren't getting exercise.
Yeah.
And there's just
urban sprawl out
so
here.
Many, like, the increased access to all these, you know, like, McDonald's and stuff.
So it's more of a systemic problem.
I think it is, because if you look at other countries, too, right? Like, I don't know, in Japan, it's, like, it's, I think it's more of a culture thing almost than, like, a strictly genetic thing.
Yeah, it kind of does depend on the lifestyle choices, but are influenced by society as it is.
What do you think?
I think
do you recommend
I definitely
this drug to?
I think personally I'm on the side of Ozempic mm-hmm. as long as it's been used in moderation with exercise and diet as well. I think that's what they're trying to do. I don't believe it should be used for any vanity reasons. I know that definitely with the Hollywood popularity. So, for example, I think maybe some of you have heard that Elon Musk has been using Ozempic, or just to re-clarify, the parent company is called Novo Nordisk, and they have Ozempic, and then they marketed another type of the exact same drug, but just under a different name called Wegovy, and that one's for weight loss. But they both have they both mimic the GLP hormone, and so Elon Musk takes Wegovy, and honestly, he's not morbidly obese mm-hmm. at whatsoever, and I don't think people that are moderately healthy should take it.
Yeah.
I don't know, that's kind of a stretch to say, but I think for people who are morbidly obese and that, I think obesity is definitely genetic in some sense, so it's harder for some people to lose mm-hmm. to lose weight just because of family history as well, because there's so many different types of people in the world, like people who find it really hard to gain weight as well, so there must be people who find it really difficult to lose weight, and so I don't think those can be combated with just diet and exercise, and that if a drug like Ozempic can help, and since obesity I think is a much bigger problem than the side effects of Ozempic, because obesity can lead to like heart disease or types mm-hmm. of cancer and things that are much, much worse than I think the consequences of using Ozempic. So I honestly, I'm kind of more on the side of the drugs, but definitely use in moderation. Like, I'm not like 100% let's use just Ozempic. It's kind of like to relate to using drugs as well, or for decriminalizing drugs. I think I had an example I wanted to say. It was for mentally ill that they just give them antidepressants. So yeah, not decriminalization, but giving antidepressants to mentally ill people and not giving them resources to therapy or rehab or something. Mm-hmm. It's like the same issue.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I don't know if I'm necessarily on the side of Ozempic.
Yeah, you're
just
on the other side.
Just because, like, that is one route that we can take that definitely, obviously it works,
mm-hmm.
but I just think that there's another probably better path that, you know, the government could probably take to, you know, protect its citizens a little, because it is considered an epidemic, right? But somehow like the responsibility of really like blamed on the individual or stuff like that. But, you know, the government is completely enabling all of this to happen, which kind of bothers me, especially considering the medical system in the U.S. Like, it's like those corporations are hand in hand right there.
Yeah.
Like, you know, McDonald's, da-da-da-da-da, with, like, big pharma. Like, it's just so much unhealthiness that I just don't think Ozempic is, like, a long-term solution to obesity at all.
I think, yeah, I agree with that. But I also think that we have been trying, I think, definitely in the U.S., like, they've had public health campaigns. And I believe, like, Michelle Obama had a period when she was the first lady that she had growing healthy veggies in her garden and making sure that kids have nutritious meals for school lunches. But I feel like that makes a tiny, tiny dent in the entire problem.
Yeah, there needs to be some, like, regulations more than just, like, telling people to eat healthy, because obviously that's not really working. Like, I think Europe, like, has a lot of regulations around that, too, and I've heard stories of, like, Americans who go to Europe, they pretty much, like, just eat the food there, and they actually lose weight just naturally because there's a lot of things that just aren't allowed to be eaten there.
Interesting.
So that could be, like,
do they just restrict certain foods? They're like, don't eat this.
Yeah, they restrict certain foods. They, like, need to make sure that, like, farmers pass certain, like, tests, I guess, of their food. Like, there's a bunch of stuff that they do. I'm not sure exactly what, but they're doing pretty good over there. And, like, obviously it's global, like, the rise of obesity, but I still think there's so much more that we can do than just, like, a reactionary thing that suppresses hunger. Like, it just doesn't seem logical to me if that's, like, a growing problem. It's not going to stop the problem.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I'm only for the very obese people just to stop those,
like,
problems of heart disease. But, yeah,
quality
just
quality of life.
The average person, I don't know. I
just don't think it's, like, strong enough to fight against, you know, it's just more of a societal problem that needs to be addressed than
an individual. Yeah, definitely more food regulation. There's actually an example. So when I recently went to Mexico, they actually, I found myself in the convenience store, and they have labels, not just the caloric labels on the back, but they have these bright red labels on the front of every product. And if it's high in something, it says excess sugar or excess
sodium. Yeah, when I was there too, I saw that.
I thought that was a great idea. So they actually, in Mexico, the entire country enacted that law in 2020. And they actually found it's effective in that people have more of an understanding of caloric nutrition and helps them make more healthier choices. So I'm like, why don't we do that?
When I was there, I would see those labels and be like, oh, I'm getting it anyway. Like, that looks yummy.
What? It helped me.
Yeah, it is good to, like, at least be mindful of what you're consuming. Like, I read it, I felt a little guilty. I was like, so yummy, though. I can't stop myself.
Excess calories.
Excess calories.
But I feel like that should be something that's a great idea. Even though I know that in Mexico, the fast food and or all the junk food companies did not like that at all. They hated that.
Of course they did, because it's, like, hurting their business. And that's, you know, that's another problem. It's, like, just the, you know, getting capital off of making people unhealthy, too, is just, like, a whole other issue. But, yeah, another example for a different country is that I went to Japan recently, and when I went to their convenience stores, like, instead of just, like, chips, donuts, Slurpees, like, this stuff is just so bad for your health, they actually had a lot of healthy, quick, like, accessible options. Like, they had, like, little rice balls with fish, and, like, you know, prepackaged, like, ramen or something, but still was, like, fresh and, like, with vegetables. I was like, I don't know if I've ever seen a vegetable in, like, a Canadian convenience store.
What are those?
So I thought that was really interesting, too, just, like, based on that one small aspect.
Yeah.
That they're, like, ensuring that people still are, like, you know.
The cultural differences are so strange. Even, like, this is even a farther back example, but I went to Hong Kong when I was really little, and I went to a McDonald's there, and they actually had rice and broccoli for one of their dishes, and I was like, I've never heard of McDonald's having broccoli. So I feel like these little changes are, they definitely won't fix the problem. This is such a big problem, but we just need to keep taking these
steps. Yeah, there's so many things. It's also, when I was reading about this, they're saying, like, every industry, like, people are becoming less active with, like, even farmers, because of, like, the advancement of technology and, like, machinery and stuff, they're being less active than ever before. So it's, like, where are we? And, like, technology and just, it's, yeah, it's a big problem. And obviously, you know, just putting a healthy option isn't going to help everything. But yeah, it is important to, like, have those options for people to, you know, and still, like, healthy food can still be yummy, you yeah know? Like, it's not impossible, so.
Yeah. But overall, this is still a holistic problem for obesity. Mm-hmm. I think, back to the Ozempic. The original topic, But, yeah, I think we're still a little divided about this, but everyone's their own opinion, so. But, yeah, I think you can make up your own mind of what you think about this new drug that we can take to suppress our appetite. But a little dystopian.
It is very, it does not, it feels kind of like the Hunger Games or something.
I know, it's like, what else could the be capital made?
Yeah.
Like, what other drugs can we capitalize on things? But I mean, not all drugs are bad. Like the insulin, for example.
Yeah, for sure.
That has saved millions of people. Mm-hmm. So, you know, honestly, if this can help with the obesity crisis, I am for it. But
I just don't think it can. So
we're going to go back and forth on this. Yeah, but I think that's enough for obesity and the entire epidemic
today, guys.
But I think we're going to head into our last couple songs. We actually are not running out of time, but we're getting to the end of our show. Mm-hmm. So this may be the last time you hear of us. I think
it might be. We might sign off right now.
Yeah. Should we sign off?
Okay. Quit the yapping.
We're going to shut up now.
Yeah, basically.
But thank you so much for listening for our Tuesday night slot. We're so glad you're here, and we appreciate you so much. And we'll be back at the same time next Tuesday for 6 p.m.
Yeah, we really hope you guys enjoyed our show, even though the topics were a bit heavier today. Yeah. and next up is Revolution Rock at 7 p.m. And we will see you guys next week. Thank you so much for tuning in with us.
Thank you.
Bye.
Oh, and this is Amber Mark coming around again.
Ask me what I'm drinking. You should order two. And the reason wasn't you, but the look in your eyes got a hold on me. Oh, baby, oh, baby. I go and put my number in your phone. Oh, boy, I
He's gone skin and pulp between his teeth. He's got nothing underneath. Every time we talk, it's brief. Simon says you gotta always dress your best. Wear your see-through pink string vest. Society's a test.
Renaissance Coffee is open at SFU. Parminder and his team have been serving the SFU community with great coffee for more than 20 years. If you're looking for a wholesome meal, delectable desserts, or something to warm yourself and lift your spirits, Renaissance Cafe is the place to be, featuring fair trade espresso beverages and brewed coffee. Renaissance Coffee is open Monday to Friday from 7 a.m.
Thanks for listening. See you guys next week, Tuesdays at 6 p.m.